Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing on this Easter Sunday?
It's Resurrection
beautiful day. Sunday.
Yes. Beautiful day.
He has risen. And so on this Resurrection Sunday, I thought it'd be appropriate. We concluded earlier in the week our study of the Gospel of Mark, and so we looked at the resurrection, the ending of Mark's Gospel. We studied that a little bit, but I thought it would be appropriate on this Resurrection Sunday that we share with our listening audience what resurrection means to you, means to us. All right, so the scripture text then that we want to reflect on and share comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. So, if someone would be so kind as to read that.
Okay. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, gentlemen, any initial thoughts?
Well, for me, the verses 1 through 8, what we just read, represents the foundation of the Christian faith, and also that love is stronger than death. Mm. And I think it would give every Christian, so I would interpret that, hope of the things to come, what you read in the Bible, and also as far as crucifying the negative things in your life and putting them to death, and then the resurrection, or birthing something new. It's never too late to start doing things the right way, or just turn over a new leaf, so to speak. That's part of God's unconditional love for you. He loves you as you are, not as you should be. And I think the resurrection, everything I just said, I think the resurrection means that to me.
Mm. Good, good, good. Anybody else?
To me, it means a new beginning.
You want to expound on that a little bit?
No.
Mark succinctly, I mean, he puts a lot, he only gives us 8 verses. That's very different than, 50-some in Matthew and John and Luke. Their resurrection stories are much longer, much longer. But succinctly, he says, look at crucified, dead. We have to appreciate, Rome didn't, the Roman Empire at the time did not invent crucifixion, but they definitely perfected it. All right? When they crucified somebody, you died. So Mark is saying he was crucified. He was dead. All right? The stone's been rolled away. He's not here. He's risen. All right? And we think about even here in Michigan, we like to say we have 4 seasons, and usually at the end of one is the birth of a new one. And here we are, without trying to overly domesticate Easter for Christians, springtime, you know, we start thinking it is a newness of life. You know, it's a new beginning. I think that coincides with what Mark was saying. There's power in the hope that's expressed in new beginnings. Right? Everything's nice and fresh in the beginning. Right? It's after we get into it for a while, things can get a little messy. And that's where we would need to cling to the power of that hope. Right? As we're journeying through. So, yeah. Anybody else? Resurrection.
Well, I like to think about when, you know, the women, they knew that there was going to be an impediment. The stone was going to be there. And they're going, boy, how are we going to do this? That stone is too big for us to move. And when they got there, it was moved for them. And so much times in our lives, we think there's this impediment. There's this problem in our life. It's just too big for me to handle. I can't do it by myself. I can't even do it with my friends. But then when you have faith, you know, God will move those impediments for you that you can't do yourself.
Or, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really good insight. I think, you know, in my own life, in this ministry's, this organization's life sometimes, right? You get your team together, right? Your friends. You kind of, I'm sure the women were going, well, I'm not exactly sure how we are going to do this, but we have every intention that we're going to figure out a way. And sometimes, even when you lay the best, or that you have the best laid plans, God shows up and does it. Right? We don't see that they're like, you know, oh Lord, please show up and roll away the stone for us. They're approaching this going, I'm not sure how we're going to do this, but we're prepared to do it if we have to do it. And then they get there and God shows up.
I mean, they spent money.
Yeah. They're doing their
thing. They got up, you know, potentially. I mean, this is a bad guy that was put to death. They're putting their lives on the line to even be around him, even in his death.
Yeah.
Because he was such a bad guy in the sense of what the Romans and the Jewish leadership was thinking about.
Yeah, he's an insurrectionist. And, you know, it's very dangerous to be associated with somebody who really is being put to death for treason, all right, against the temple religious establishment and the Roman Empire. Not exactly people you want to be hanging out with, because you know what happened to him, and that might very well happen to you. But what a testimony to faith then. And I think there's good inspiration that comes from that. That despite the danger, let us press forward. Not knowing exactly how, being fully responsible, go out and let's get the spices. Let's spend our money. Let's prepare. But knowing somewhere along the line, God's going to show up. Which we said in our study earlier, I mean, the resurrection is God's, right? God's vindication of Jesus. Is God making the exclamation point, yes, to the life, death, right? The ministry, the mission, even the crucifixion of his son. And by saying yes, he's saying no, right? So if we're going to come along the side of yes, we may have to encounter certain dangerous situations. Opposing situations.
And you think about what those women had just been through. I mean, it was Mary. I mean, it seen her son tortured to death. And still she went ahead and was doing the right thing.
Yeah. The just for clarification purposes, right? In Mark, it's Mary Magdalene.
Right.
Mary, the mother of Joseph. And then, John's the one that really, John's gospel gives us Mary. So it's not to say she wasn't.
Right.
Regardless, right, we did look at earlier in the week, I mean, these are women, you know, begs the question, where are the men, right, at the crucifixion? Well, they're smart guys in the sense that, you know, we were associated with him, right? And we see what happens to the insurrectionists. We don't really want that. And women were less intimidating to the opposition. So, you know, it's a little less dangerous for them to be present. But you're absolutely right. We're talking 48 hours ago, right? We saw what happened to him. And I think we need to appreciate what Mark's saying. It's like, look at Rome perfected crucifixion. If they crucified you, you died. He's dead. Right? Tomb empty, great hope, because he's risen. All right, and that's what this this day for us believers is really about. Right? And if I want to just interject a little bit, this is an earthquake. And I'm not talking about what Matthew says, the earthquake helped roll away the stone. But I'm talking about, from a literary perspective, what Mark and the other gospel writers are talking about, the resurrection of Christ is an earthquake. Mark doesn't tell us, neither does Matthew or anybody else, that, so, you know, he died and he went down to Sheol, the shadow, the grave of the shadows. Mark's not saying, you know, he died and he's just, that's the way it is. He's dead. And here's his tomb, stone, right? That's the end. There's no meaning to it. Neither does he say, well, you know, he died and his soul went to heaven. He doesn't tell us that. He doesn't give us any of the Hellenistic dualist thought. None of them say that. And those were popular understandings of what happens when the human dies in the first century. They're saying, no, heaven and earth came together. You know, the material and the spiritual, right? The power of God. The new beginning, as Paul would, that we see later. You know, this is the new creation. This is the new Adam, right? The new priest, prophet, and king. In a new order, God says yes to all that. Right? So this resurrection, this is what they're talking. What they're talking about is something that's explosive, something that's of a novelty. This is something new. And Paul says, "Look, if this didn't happen, then what we're following is in vain. We're fools."
Hmm? Yeah, you know, and you know, Pastor brought up a good point the other day about. You know, and this is how it applies to my life. You know, I find myself crucifying and coming back to resurrection. You know, crucifying different stuff in my life and coming back to resurrection. Just because I did late, you know, knelt down, asked for forgiveness, and asked for salvation, that didn't, you know, yeah, okay, that way he looked at it, wiped the board clean, okay? But for me, I'm working on, you know, it's that incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection as you talk about. It's what we've learned. You know, it's about okay, like you said, just crucify that stuff and just do it. You know, I mean, you know, and hope. We have hope today, you know. And like you touched earlier about, if we could just think back, you know, there's people still with cancer and going through their hardships in life. And here at the Neighbors of Hope, we've been given such a blessing to not have that distraction. I'll use that, you know, and it's just, but it's hard sometimes, you know, it's hard, even though you don't have that distraction, you got time to really, you know, deal with self, you know, and I don't know, do you?
Yeah, and sometimes we can, there is that pattern, right? We can see it in our personal lives. We see it throughout the Bible. We definitely see it in the narratives of Jesus. That pattern of incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection. Order, disorder, and reorder. All right? It's the journey of transformation. All right? So, transformation. John's gospel would be, you know, it's about being born again. We can talk about change. Paul talks about morphing, you know, be transformed, be morphed in the renewal of your mind. It is about this journey of transformation. And what we see God vindicating in Jesus' resurrection is the establishment of the new creation. All right? Paul will tell us, you know, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are a new
creation.
Oh, yeah. Jesus is the first fruit in the new creation, right? He's the new Adam. There's been a transformation, and the factuality of the resurrection needs to be accepted. That in the other Gospels, we don't see it in Mark, but in Matthew, Luke, and John, the appearances of the new creature in the new creation, right, with a new body and all these, right, all these, it's new. So it is about incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection. And sometimes, Richard, I think we can get so consumed with just the crucifixion. It's our constant looking at ourselves going, I'm not good enough. I still need to put this to death. To where we never enter into the power of newness. All right? The power of the resurrection. The transformation. Because we're just constantly... consistently looking at, you know, our shortcomings that we need to put to death. And yes, we do have to do that. But it also encourages us to have a little patience with self. Right? That we're not, you know, it's funny, you can watch on TV and they got some of those advertisements, you know, you can take the whole onion now and just put it in this little device and squeeze it and it comes out, you know, not just sliced, you know, but also, what do you call that? Cubed? You know what I'm talking about? So it's cut, it's cut and diced. Thank you. Diced. There. Shows my culinary education, right? Nonetheless, but it's completely diced, so it's cut four ways. I mean, you used to have to do that with a knife, but you think about an onion, we use the cliche, you know, you need to, when it comes to transformation, it's one layer of the onion at a time. And yes, as you're taking away the layers, your eyes might start watering. You know, it's not necessarily easy. There may be some pain associated with it, but it's just one layer at a time. But there's the hope is in the power of the resurrection, which leads to transformation.
You know, hope. You know. I look at a pastor. You know, and I've been given so much hope. If it's not from God, it's from the brotherhood. It's from the ministry. It's from people lifting you up, giving you hope. Whether it's a hug, that's hope. You know what I'm saying? Whether how you're doing, that's hope. You know, and it's just, I don't know, man. I just get so wrapped up in wanting to change too fast. And like you said, sometimes you just got to listen.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And here we are at Neighbors of Hope, much like our nation. Right? Everyone's going through the coronavirus culture, and that has really forced a lot of us, right, to slow down. It's eliminated a lot of our distractions, which then affords us the opportunity to be confronted with self. And sometimes we're discovering that we're not quite as patient with self as we would like to be, and we're eager for the distraction so I don't have to deal with self, right? So there's somewhat of a blessed opportunity there. But, well, gentlemen, thank you very much for sharing what the power of the resurrection means to you. I pray for our listening audience that was inspirational to you on this Resurrection Sunday, particularly as Neighbors of Hope and the larger Lenawee community is currently struggling with the coronavirus culture. And pray that everyone is well and everyone is safe. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our Women's and Children's Ministry Center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.